This is the Lunch Bunch with Andrew Hawthorne and Company on VOCM. For the next half hour, we will peek behind the big stories we are all talking about today. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your host of the Lunch Bunch, Andrew Hawthorne.
Hello, welcome to the Lunch Bunch. Thank you so much for spending your lunch hour with us today. My name is Andrew Hawthorne. It is a mucky day out there. It is not a great day to be outside. Luckily, we're not outside, we're inside. Unfortunately, my guests today do manage an outdoor festival largely. I've got a number of guests from the Mummers Parade that's going to be happening here next month. Lynn McShane, welcome.
Thanks, Andrew.
Tara Barrett.
Thanks, hi.
And Caitlin Warren, how are you today?
Great, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing swell, I am. So would you all consider yourselves professional mummers? Do you mum?
Oh, a professional. I don't know if you... I know I'm not a professional mummer. I would say I'm an amateur mummer.
Amateur mummer?
I've mummered lots.
You've mummered lots?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of mumming experience have you had in the past? This is your mum job interview.
My mum job interview?
Yeah.
Well, I come from a long line of mummers from the Southern Shore.
A long line of mummers? Each one mummer than the last?
Yes, absolutely.
And what kind of mumming tradition did you do on the Southern Shore? Whereabouts on the Southern Shore?
In Renews on the Southern Shore. That's where my mom's family are from. There's 13 of them, so I learned from the best.
How they all fit in the kitchen?
Comfortably.
Okay. You just need a bigger kitchen.
You need a bigger kitchen.
So were they mumming in Renews when you were younger?
Oh, absolutely. I grew up in St. John's, but we spent... most of our time in Renews whenever we could, and Christmas was certainly one of those times. And yes, my mom's family, they all grew up mummering as children, boys and girls. In some communities, it was mostly the boys that went out, but in Renews, certainly the girls went as well. And as we came along, the grandchildren great came along, we all ended up as kids going out with them, and as we got a little older, we went out by ourselves and grew into rowdy teenagers and really had fun with it.
With the rowdy mumming?
Yeah.
Did either of you experience mumming before your festival experience when you were younger?
Yeah, I guess I remember distinctly being in elementary school. Like, I grew up in St. John's as well, I should say. So I know we had mummers come to the house when I was a kid, but I was kind of too young and I didn't really see them. I think I was in bed. But I know when I was in, I think, kindergarten, we had to dress up as mummers for one of our, like, school activities. And I thought it was the best thing ever. I guess previous to the festival, I also mummered with a few friends, which was awesome because, you know, when you go door to door and you walk in and, you know, you're completely masked and you're covered. And then you're speaking with a different voice. We tried the ingressive speech, so
sure.
Speaking in, like breathing in and speaking while breathing in. And my friend and her mom both thought that they were her mom's coworkers. They had no idea that we were her friends. It was awesome. Yeah.
One of my earliest mumming experiences is the same as yours. I was mumming at my. Is it mumming or mummering?
It depends on where you are, yeah.
I went mum over at Count Heights Elementary here in St. John's, and in my grade one class, what I was really proudest of is my teacher didn't recognize me at all, which is like peak mummering, I think.
Exactly.
That's
the goal.
That's the goal.
Yep. Caitlin, did you mum before you were mumming here? Professionally?
No, I've never been mumming really before the festival. I kind of ended up working with them as a bit of a fluke, and it was something I wasn't really expecting to learn so much about. I always knew about mummering. I knew it existed, and I'd heard the song, and I'd heard like the stories, but I never knew about all of these little traditions from these little outports that I'd gotten a chance to learn about in the past couple of years. And
yeah, you kind of came in on the business side of running the festival, hey?
Yeah, so I came in through a grant program with the Center for Social Enterprise at Memorial University. It's a collaboration between the business faculty and social work faculty.
Mm-hmm.
So we concentrate on nonprofits and organizations that work for more of a social cause, not so much for the financial aspect. And I ended up at the Mummers Festival. I came in 2017, and I learned about hobby horsing a lot that year. That was the year of the hobby horse. Then since then, I've done, you know, the Wren. I learned a little bit about that.
What's the Wren?
The Wren is another thing completely, rather. But I just kind of noticed it in our docs the other day.
The Wren is a tradition that's particular to certain pockets of the province, and the Wren usually take place on St. Stephen's Day, which is, I believe, the 20th.
Boxing Day.
Yeah,
yes.
The 26th. And usually it's when people go, generally it was younger boys, but younger people in the community would go door to door and they'd sing a little rhyme, the wren, and in singing this at the end, they requested kind of a penny or a drink, yes, or something. You're right. Was this something in Renews that was,
yes,
practiced?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Actually, there's only a couple of communities, yeah, in Newfoundland. Colliers, I believe, is another one. But again, my mom's family, all the boys in her family will go out on St. Stephen's Day. And
I forgot about the bird.
They carry a wren, on a stick.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Like that they made, like the hobby horse kind of?
It might have been, you know, a dead one way back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah. Could be. But no, it would typically be kind of a mock bird. And they would all arrive typically before noon in people's homes, and they would chant a rhyme up and down the hall.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm learning all kinds of stuff already. We're going to be right back in a couple minutes. When you get back, we're talking mummering here on the VOCM Lunch Bunch. Stay tuned.
Now back to Andrew Hawthorne and the Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
Welcome back to the Lunch Bunch.
Oh, that's hard to do. What did you call that again?
Ingressive speech. So you're trying to speak while you're breathing.
While you're breathing in.
Who thought that was a good idea when they were
that's
mummering?
That's a good way to disguise your voice.
I guess
it's
that's
very
so.
Hard. Yeah.
Did that come from anywhere specific? I'm speaking with a bunch of the folks from the Mummers Festival. Tara Barrett, you're the executive director.
I'm not sure if it comes from anywhere specific, but I know that ingressive speech is still common here, and it's common in different pockets around the world. It's just like a linguistic habit that has persisted here. I remember like listening to my mom talking to my nan on the phone, and like that would be consistent. So it is a form that people use in mummering as well.
That's interesting. You know, we were speaking a bit in the break too about how mummering is widespread, and it came over, you know, from Ireland and from these older practices. But also, it was very different here in Newfoundland, depending on where you were, even communities right next to each other.
Correct.
You know, like you were mentioning the wren earlier, and we were talking about hobby horsing as well. Like, what is involved in that for those who aren't familiar, except for the physical, like riding a horse around?
Oh, well, it's not necessarily riding a horse around. That's not what hobby horsing is in Newfoundland.
Okay.
Hobby horsing traditions kind of vary, and they come over from England, from Ireland, from, you know, parts of the UK. But I guess there's three kinds of hobby horses, but the main one here is one that you wear. So you don't ride it. There is a stick, but that's to hold the head up. And then I guess the head itself is made to shape, to be looking like a horse, but they have been made into other shapes as well. And they were generally made of skin, they were carved wood, bone. They could have kind of been anything, but they were shaped like a horse's head. And then oftentimes there would be something draped over the back, so your whole kind of body was covered by like a sheet. And you would mount this head onto a stick. You go underneath it, and then the main part of the hobby horse, I think it definitely, is the jaws, the snarking jaws. So
the business
sound
end of the horse.
Make.
Okay.
Yeah. And they were used for all sorts of mischief. Depending on what community you're in, they might do different things. I know. You mentioned in 2017 it was the year like the hobby horse, and we did some research on hobby horses in particular. And I know in community like Markland, Whitburn area, they were doing a particular practice the hobby horses there would do is they would shave the men of the community. So the hobby horses would, together with a group of mummers, would kind of chase down different people that were outside kind of mummering, and they would shave the men of the community. That was like one thing that hobby horse
like hold them down and shave them?
There's some dark sides.
There's a very dark side. Well, I mean, and it's interesting you bring that up, of course, because mummering was very controversial. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like there were, like anything, there were some bad things associated with it. And then they like had to license it, and they were trying to figure out how to keep it going for a while. And then it basically all but vanished, I guess, like in part because of that kind of stuff and people moving on. And it's only like, it felt like when I was a kid, we were like searching for a way to mum. Mm-hmm. You know, like we wanted this to continue, but we knew like we couldn't figure out how to make it happen. And it seems like the festival has kind of like hit on a thing. And I remember there were other attempts over the years. There was one to do it like a show where, yes, you would go to a house and there would be like a mummer show happening.
Yeah, there was a mummer's troupe
right.
That was in the 80s, I guess, mainly with, mm-hmm, Chris Brooks. And they would go kind of house to house, or they would do the Mummers Play, which is, I guess, because in Newfoundland there are kind of three traditions, the main one being the house visit, so going door to door dressed up and people trying to guess who you are, the house visit itself. The Mummers Play, there are examples of that in pockets around the province. It's something that's certainly gone out of style and it's not very well known around the province, but it is something that was practiced in bits of the province. And then the Mummers Parade, it wasn't very widespread at all, but there is some evidence that there were mummers parades of sorts in St. John's in the like 1700s, 1800s, and that's kind of what we base this festival off of, I guess.
What will you associate mummers with? I mean, maybe just because of the Simenai song, is going house to house,
and that's
right?
And that's the main one, and that's the one that I think persisted in most communities. Like mm-hmm. there were very small pockets that did the mummers play. It was known in some communities, but it was house visiting that it's known for and that I think it's continued to be best known for.
Is that how traditional mummering was overseas when, you know, they would have done it in a Scots tradition or in an Irish tradition?
That, again, widely varies. There are kind of those three varieties. There's some varieties in the UK where they'll go bar to bar and they'll do the
sure.
mummers play.
That's so a very reasonable tradition.
They'll go bar to bar and they'll do the mummers play for expecting kind of a payment, and the payment will be usually go to charity in today's age. But yeah.
Really? Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Why wouldn't it? You know, it's fascinating how many different things, and you're saying, bringing together all of these different traditions coming from all these different places, but under the same banner of mummering and kind of sharing those things. You know, why? How difficult was it to kind of bring mummering into the 21st century in that respect and figure out how to take this tradition, this ancient tradition that we really didn't want to let go of? Because I think Newfoundlanders, even Newfoundlanders who didn't experience it, love mummering and you know, they know the mummer's song and the traditions. Like, what is it about mummering that we didn't want to let go of?
I think it's the social piece, absolutely.
Yeah?
You know, in my family's case, it was just so much fun. You know, it was, and so way back in the day, there was no lights, there was no TV, there was certainly no internet or you know, smartphones. And so it was a form of social entertainment between Christmas and New Year's for small communities, where people would just literally grab anything that came out of your mother's closet, pull it on over your head, and go from house to house in the community, usually snowballing in size as they moved along the harbor or bay or wherever they happen to be.
And it's certainly something unique to Newfoundland here that we've kind of grasped onto as part of our culture, hey?
Yeah, and I was also going to agree and say, like, it's also, I find, like, the aspect of just being costumed mm-hmm. and being unknown, it brings, like, this kind of magic to it. I know people have said in the parade, like, when you're walking in the parade and you're walking with all these people and you mightn't know anyone, like, you don't have to come to the parade with a group of people. You can. It is a social thing. But it's just, like, the whole aspect of walking along and, you know, maybe you have an ugly stick or maybe you have some instrument, but just being able to be kind of one of this big group of, like, this big social group and then go back afterwards and have a dance and have a bite to eat. It's just, yeah, it is all about that social aspect, mm-hmm. I think.
What's really weird about it too is if you're in the parade and realize you might know everybody around you.
Well, it's St. John's, so you probably right? know half the people. So
yeah, you're staring at people, they're staring at you. This might be your best friend, but you have no idea right now. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're talking about mummering and mummering in St. John's as well. Hold fast.
Now back to Andrew Hawthorne and the Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
Welcome back. We're talking about Mummers and the Mummers Festival, and we've got a bunch of people from that. There are several workshops coming up to talk about some of the festivities and some of the traditions from around the province that we're now preserving here. Can you tell us a bit about that? Folks, who would like to go first? Caitlin?
So we're kicking off the festival with some ugly stick workshops this year, and our theme is music and memorying, so that's a good little fit. November 30th and December 1st are our two workshops where you can come on down and build your own ugly stick to bring to the parade. We also have a few other educational kind of themed music and memorying events, a memory mug up with the Marjorie Muse Public Library on December 12th. You have a box and bucket mask workshop, a hobby horse workshop.
What is a bucket mask workshop?
So the box and bucket is just basically using a box or a bucket to make a mask. So you just put it on your head.
It's not just
pretty.
A clever name, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Was that common? Like, usually, I think of mummers as wearing pillowcases, mm-hmm. but, like, so how common is boxes and buckets?
Boxes are pretty common, actually. Well, not pretty common, but they were used. So the what people wear over their heads kind of varies widely. So we do have pillowcases. We are doing, like, a pillowcase workshop as well. But people often wore lace. They wore boxes. They wore buckets. I know there's been some beautiful pictures of, like, kind of bird-like mummers as well.
Mm.
Halloween masks, mm-hmm. whatever you had around, anything that could cover your face.
Where do you stand vis-a-vis mitts on feet?
Mitts on feet?
Boots on hands, etc.
I mean, I wouldn't wear mitts on my feet just because I wouldn't want to ruin a good pair of mitts.
You're going to wreck your mitts, right? And I feel I'm 100% on board with this. Yeah. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say that the mummer mask workshop, which will include pillowcases, are some new ideas that Tara's brought in this year that we are really excited about because we're going to be present at places we've never been before. We're going to be at the A.C. Hunter Public Library on December 6th and the St. John's Farmers Market on December 7th. So we're really excited to bring the festival to those venues and encourage people to come with their kids.
What are you going to be doing at those venues? Are you going to mum at the farmers market?
So we're going to be doing the mask workshop. So we're going to have, we're going to have pillowcases. We're going to have different fabric pieces and fabric markers so that people can decorate masks there. Hopefully, we're hoping it's kind of quick, easy. Kids can do it as they're going through the market, and it won't create, hopefully, too much chaos.
Or just a little chaos.
Well, a little chaos makes it mummering, so that's fine. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got the farmers market appearances. We've got workshops. Oh, I was going to ask about the ugly stick thing. That was the first thing that you mentioned, Caitlin. Mm-hmm. And ugly sticks are kind of ubiquitous on their own throughout Newfoundland. Was that always attached to mumming? Is that where ugly sticks came from? Or because it seems like I've seen ugly sticks off on their own in the wild.
I don't think that they're specifically attached to mummering. I think that ugly sticks were an instrument that were used basically any time there was a time.
Sure.
So I think that ugly sticks were just basically an instrument that could be easily made if you didn't have an instrument around. However, some communities and some people who go mummering certainly always bring music with them. I know we've got a board member, Andrea O'Brien, and she said that they didn't ever have music themselves. They were in a musical family, but there was a musical family in their community, and they would always have like a fiddle or an accordion with them. So that musical aspect was always brought with them. Kind of since, how long have we been doing the Ugly Stick workshops? I think kind of since the beginning, the first year.
Yeah.
So it's one element that has been, there's always been an association between music and mummering, so we've kind of developed that workshop with a local man, Wayne, to kind of, you know, make those ugly sticks as best we can, and with great supervision from Wayne, who's awesome.
Yeah, and by far it's the most popular. I think people love to come and make the ugly sticks. It's talk about controlled chaos.
Yeah. Everybody wants their own ugly stick.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What else do you have going on?
We've got a one thing that we're really excited about is, of course, is Parade Day. The festival runs from the 28th to the 14th, and our signature event is always the Mummers Parade, of mm-hmm. course, and so this year it is on Saturday, December 14th, with a backup day, which we've never, thankfully, had to use, of the 15th. So prior to the parade itself, we will have a rig-up, and our parade this year will be starting and finishing at the Lantern on Barnes Road, and so prior to the parade itself, people are welcome to come. And we will have a whole assortment of clothes, veils, socks, mitts, you name it. People who don't have their own costumes are welcome to come and create one. And then the parade will start at 2 with a route through the Georgetown area. And then after the parade, we will have our Scuff and Scoff with live music and a chance to sample some purity syrup, lots of cookies, and have a bit of a dance and a mug up at the end.
That's a great time. And, you know, like I said, it's amazing that it's been brought into the 21st century in this way, that, you know, we've been looking for something to do with mumming, and here we've got something to do with mummering here in the city. So, I don't know, it's a really fun event, of course. How can people get involved with the Mummers Festival if they want to?
So they can check us out online. It's mummersfestival.ca. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We do look for volunteers. Most all of our workshops are volunteer run. Like, we have a lot of volunteers who come out to all of our workshops in all of our events, especially Parade Day. Parade Day, I don't think, could go ahead without all the volunteers who come out and help out with that. So we do always have volunteers each year. So basically, you can find us on social media. The website has all the information about all our different events. We do have several events that we're also doing at the Rooms. We have a partnership with them. So I think Caitlin had mentioned the Music and Mummering, so we're going to do a little presentation about music and mummering and the importance of that. We also, I think Lynn mentioned earlier that we're going to have Jannies on the big screen, so we'll be showing some of those mummer movies that have been made locally recently. We'll be showing those at the Rooms. One of the new programs that we have this year is the Heart's Delight Islington. They have a specific Christmas custom where they go door to door and they sing during the Christmas season, so they're going to come and present on that. So yeah, we're looking forward to all of the events that we have, and we're hoping that people will come out and enjoy them. And all of our events are free public events. So we certainly accept donations, but they're free for the public and anybody who wants to come out and join in.
Okay, I'm going to go around the circle before we end up, and I want a mummering tip from everybody, whether that's like an item, a good, like your favorite costume item or what have you. So, Kaylin, what's a mummering tip? What's your top mum?
My favorite mummering piece is probably lace. You can use old curtains, you can use old tablecloths, and just drape it over your face. You can see right through it, and they look beautiful.
Face lace. Mm-hmm. That's a solid tip. What do you think of Tara?
I like stuffing, so you can either, like, you know, stuff your belly, stuff a bra. I like, you know, misshaping your body so people can't figure out who
you are. Change that silhouette?
Yeah, put a big butt, whatever you need, yep.
I'm for it. Okay, and finally, Lynn.
I like and encourage people to always have a trap door, because you never know what's going
to
happen.
Those are hard to find nowadays.
They are indeed, but you got to have an escape route, I always say.
An escape route out the butt?
If need be, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're ending with an end here on the VOCM Lunch Bunch today. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you coming in. And remember, folks, no mitts on feet. Sim and I, not correct about that one. It's unanimous here. Thank you very much for listening to the VOCM Lunch Bunch. Stay tuned for On Target St. John's with Linda Swain. That's going to be up next, and I'm going to be up at 12:30 tomorrow, and I hope you'll join me then too. Until then, have a really swell day.